Thank you. Yes, she is. She's doing better. Still in pain, but she's doing better. Thank you. So in Colossians, we're still in Colossians. We're in the last chapter of Colossians. Paul's been talking to him, and he's been talking to him about how they should conduct or how they should walk their Christian life, right? And how when they chose to follow Jesus, that they were a new creation and things were going to change. You know, he talks about a new man. He's not leaving out women. He's talking about a new creation, right? He's talking about things change, family life changes, habits change. You know, how we talk changes when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. In Colossians 4, verse 2, Jesse, can you read that?
Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant and at one with thanksgiving.
All right. Prayer is very important. You know, it's how we communicate with Lord, how we communicate with God, and how we build that relationship with Him. It says to continue earnestly in prayer. So what's earnestly? We're not talking about earnest goes to camp or anything like that. We're talking about the word earnestly, right? What does earnestly mean? Anybody? Being very devoted, right. Being serious, being sincere, you know, giving your 100%. Yes?
Then could prayer technically be doing something that you love to do because you're giving it your 100% to God and, like, that's your way of showing love to Him?
I guess that would be more like worship. Okay. You know, prayer is, you know, is more audible, if you will. You know, and a lot of times we pray and we just think in our head and we pray, but it is audible because we're talking to God. So it is that communication, it's asking, it's just, I guess that's how we explain it. I don't know, but doing stuff, that'd be more of a worship thing, in which we can worship in God, and doing stuff for Him is a form of worship. In Luke 18, verse 1, Cassia?
Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart.
So Luke's quoting Jesus here, and he's telling him not to lose heart when we pray. You know, as for Christians, prayer sounds easy. Right? Oh, just pray. Right? But if we want to be honest, things get in the way. Right? Distractions happen. You know, phone calls, we go, oh, well, I'm going to go pray. Phone call happens. Text message. You know, there's a late night. I had a really late night. You know, never enough time in the day. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it later. You know, I'll pray later. And then we pray, and then we look at our watch and go, why don't I have an answer yet? What's going on? What's taking so long? You know, God doesn't forget about us. God will never forget about us. However, He works on His timing, not our timing. You know, we wish it was our timing. We do all the time, but now, I'm telling you this not to be okay with excuses. And, oh, well, everybody does it. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you not to lose heart. Right? We need to continue to pray. Yo, you're not alone in that struggle when to, you know, whether to pray often or not. Yo, everybody has that same struggle. Yo, I think that's why a lot of people, you hear about people setting a time to go pray, like go pray in a prayer closet. You know, people actually have prayer closets. It could be your actual closet. But they set apart time to go. And the reason is not because they're so good. You know, they're so good and righteous people. It's because if they don't set a time, they know things will get too busy. And they'll have these excuses and they'll do other things. So they set apart a time. Now, we have a very gracious and loving God, and He wants to hear our prayers no matter when it is. Morning, night, middle of the night, it doesn't matter. He wants to hear from us. You know, I do encourage us to try to set up that habit of praying in the morning or in the evening or whenever it is. Setting a time is a good habit to get into because it just gets us going there. There is a survey which says, you know, that average Christian doesn't pray that often. You know, if you take out church, when they go to church, you know, maybe a couple, five times in 5 minutes every month. You know, but imagine if you have a really good friend and you're only talking to him a little bit. You know, I have friends, what I grew up with when I was in high school, my best friend growing up. You know, and we have history, but we only really talk on the phone anymore like once a year. He calls me on my birthday. But, and then his birthday is 2 days later, so I call him. But, you know, we have history. We still would do things for each other. We still love each other. But we don't have that really close relationship that we had when we saw each other, you know, six times a day, you know, 6 days a week. You know, so just imagine, you know, it's that relationship. Prayer is about building that relationship with God. Now, being vigilant in prayer. Vigilant, that's another word. Anybody can try to tackle that one?
Being alert.
Being alert, exactly. I always thought it was being like more aggressive, vigilant. But actually in Greek, vigilant means wakeful, being awake, right? Being alert. I think typically people set time to prayer in the morning is because you wake up, you're less prone to go, oh, I'm tired, let's go to sleep now. Jesus, Peter, and John were praying in the garden. Anybody ever hear that story? Kind of, sort of. It was right before he gets crucified or gets arrested, and he goes to the garden to pray, right? In Matthew 26, 40 and 41. Right? So they go to pray, and Jesus is off praying, and the disciples, Peter and John, they fall asleep, right? They get tired. This actually happens three times. Jesus goes, you know, he wakes them up, and he goes, and he comes back, they're asleep. He does this three times. The reason that the Bible tells us things like this and repeats things and tells us, oh, don't lose heart in prayer. He tells us this story about Peter and John falling asleep. And then Paul also tells us to be vigilant is because this is a common problem, right? And people go through it all the time. We could learn from it, right? He repeats things that we learn. And that we can learn to be better. You know, it's going to be about practice and training, but we could learn from those experiences. Being thankful in prayer. Now, it's easy to be caught up in the negative things of the world, right? Oh, it's so easy. It's so easy to focus on, oh, this is bad. I don't have enough money for this. There's war going on. There's all kinds of distractions. And we end up not praying because we're depressed, or the only time we pray is in case of an emergency. Has everybody flown in an airplane in here? You've flown? I've never flown in a little plane. I've flown in the big planes. But you know when the stewardess gets up and it's like doing the whole spiel about the safety?
Do you listen to that?
Well, does anybody? You look around the plane and you see like probably 90%, if not more, they don't care. They just want the plane to take off and land and they're done. But you know, maybe that 10% is the people that never flown before, first time flyers, or they're afraid to fly. They're freaked out. But yeah, nobody pays attention. They're not taking notes. Okay. This is life saving, right? Everybody kind of knows it by heart anyways. But we need to be thankful. I lost my train of thought. So we need to be thankful, have a thankful heart when we pray. You know, it's not about just, in the emergencies. You know, it's not just the emergency way we pay attention. It's being thankful throughout everything. Something little that I do is that I have this work truck. And I have a work truck, and it has all kinds of parts on it. It is very, very messy. I clean it up, and then it just gets messy, and then just it's useless. It's just messy. I have bins. There's all kinds of parts. But I try to find parts. And it might sound silly, small, but I pray to God. It's like, okay, God, help me out here. And I thank God every time he helps me find a part, right? Now, it's not world-changing. My life isn't hanging by a thread. But it's a relationship builder. You know, and it's a good reminder that God is always there to help us. You know, and even in the small things, and I'm very thankful to know that. I'm very thankful that I know that he is there to help me. And it puts me in a better place throughout that day. It gives me a second to breathe and be thankful. And that's the thing, is to be thankful for that God is there. We're not thankful for going through trials, but we're thankful for that God is there to help us through that trial. Colossians chapter 4, 3 and 4. Stephen? So what, you know, while we're praying, what should we pray about? You know, Paul is writing this letter from a certain location. Where, anybody know where he's writing this letter from?
Prison.
Prison, yes, that glorious, you know, before Disneyland, there was a prison. That's nice.
Going to prison, guys.
Now, if I was him, I'd want open doors too. I'd want jail cell doors open, right? That's what I'd probably be, that's what I'd be praying for. But that's not the doors Paul is talking about. Paul wants opportunity. He wants opportunity to talk to more people about Jesus. Don't miss the fact of why Paul is in prison, right? Why is Paul in prison? Right? So he's in prison because he's evangelizing Jesus, right? And what does Paul want to do? Right? He wants to keep talking about Jesus. So he's not thinking about, that's the reason he's in chains, is for talking about Jesus, but that doesn't matter to him. He knows what he wants to do, and he knows what the best thing to do and the right thing to do is to still talk about Jesus. You know, he wants more chances to do that same thing. Paul's not asking for a self-centered kind of prayer. He's not asking, oh, well, I want more meals. I want to be free. He's asking to do God's will. To have God's will be done, and for him, if he has a chance to help that happen. You know, the mysteries of Christ. You know, for somebody who knows Christ, it's not a mystery. I think some people might get tied up with that word. But he's talking about those who do not know Jesus. To them, it's a mystery. So he wants to tell them about that mystery, to unravel that mystery. He wants a chance to speak to them and to help them out. You know, make it manifest, you know, the way he ought to speak. You know, making this thing happen. So the way he should speak, he wants help in that. He wants help in, how should I talk to this person? How should I want to reach that person? You know, manifest is to make things happen in how he should speak about it. Colossians 4, 5, and 6, Jesse. So walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. So is he talking about people that are outside the prison?
Outside of Christ.
Outside of Christ, exactly. Outside unbelievers. He's talking about the unbelievers. You know, think about things before we do them or before we say them. Yeah, sometimes that's a lot easier said than done, right? Sometimes our mouth is very quick. From the early church, unbelievers looked and watched Christians to see if they practice what they preach. You know, we might not like it, not be happy about it, but they do. People watch to see if your life actually changed, or you're just telling them a story. You know, to see if, is it better? Do I want what they want? Or what they have, I should say. You know, you could tell a lot about a person on what they do or how they talk. Right? Redeeming that time. You know, making the most of every second of each minute. You know, we don't live in a video game, right? Where we could just restart or we have multiple lives. We have one life here on earth and we need to make the best of it. We need to redeem the time that we have and do the best that we can. You know, speak with grace and season with salt. You know, a little seasoned, you know, Salt makes everything really good, right? Makes it tasty. Huh? Well, actually, what's weird is they put salt in cake. I mean, not a lot. it's strange. You know, you need that little season. Yeah, something like that. You know, you wouldn't think. You'd think it's all sweetness and stuff. There's probably some cakes. But what it is being kind, being helpful, right? Being seasoned as far as being helpful, tolerable. Being that person people want to be around. Being that person that they want to hear more from. You know, in the olden days, even older than me, strange I hear about this, is that moms, yeah. When the moms weren't keeping their kids running away from dinosaurs, they would wash their mouths out with soap.
Oh, I remember that.
If they said, and I think some moms might still do it. I don't know. My mom threatened, I think, when I was really little, but never did it. But, any moms ever threatened that?
Oh, I got it done.
Oh, we got it done. Nice. It wasn't
just like a little bit of drop soap. It was the whole bar in the mouth.
Hold
in there for 2 minutes.
I accidentally bit soap once. It looked like a mooncake, so I was like, okay.
Well, like Irish Spring, I haven't had Irish Spring in a long time, but it smells good. Might be tasty.
The soap looks like a mooncake and smelled like a mooncake, so I thought it was a mooncake, and it was kind of squishy, too. I don't know how the soap was squishy, but I thought, I don't know.
And what was this, last week? You were...
It was my junior year.
Oh. Well, I can't say much. When I was growing up, we used to chew on wax, surfboard wax.
Yeah, that like it chews up and doesn't like break, it just keeps on moving around.
Yeah. It's like gum, but no flavor. You could add flavor.
It's better for you, probably.
Probably is. And the soap, you got a clean mouth now. But did that fix any problems? Was that a long-term fix? No, it didn't. Yeah, I mean, for a little bit, you're like, man, this is horrible. And then it's like, oh, well, right? Because the problem is not the mouth. The problem is in the heart. Right? Just really pour soap in there. The problem is in the heart. Matthew 15, verse 18 applies specially to you.
Oh, thank you. But those things which are seen in the heart, not in the heart, and they defile man.
Wait, I didn't read this.
No, slow it down, yeah. So what does it mean?
It's meaning that, like, whatever you say, it can be good, or it can also, like, bring man down.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, yeah, it's from what's inside. You know, our mouth, it proceeds, but it's what's in our hearts.
Kind of like people can, like, make jokes, but, like, some jokes have, like, truth to them.
Right. Yeah, some, yeah. And I don't know, I mean, if everybody's been guilty. Sometimes you say something that's too close to certain things, but it's what's in our hearts, and then that will defile us. Then that defines us, and make things bad. We need to have a heart for others. You know, other-centered heart, not a self-centered heart. that we may know that we, and then he goes on and says, you may know how to ought to answer each one. You know, there's been people and psychologists, whoever, I don't know who did it, but somebody have categorized our personalities into like five different categories. Everybody's heard about that, you know, type A personality, type B personality, and all this. Huh? You've never heard that? Yeah, is A, B, and C. Is that there's those people, and I guess for layman's terms, there's some, you know, you could talk to somebody and you could say, oh, well, let's go here. It's going to be the funnest time ever because they're really about activities. And then there's, you could talk to other people and you're like, oh, well, you're going to learn so much because some people, some kids actually like to learn. I don't know who, but. Right. Well, then there's a personality like that. Is, no. But so there's these different personalities, right? You guys are similar, but you guys have different personalities, right?
No.
Different interests? You are like AI of the future. You just are exactly the same. Oh, my gosh, they said it at the same time. I'm scared. Right. Right, it's just one mind. But our personality traits, then there's plus the fact that we have different backgrounds, right?
You know, I heard something the other day.
Yes.
The first, like, 7 years of your life is where, like, you're a sponge, basically, and you take in, like, every single, like, thing that happens to you, and, like, that kind of makes you who you are later on in life. Like, if you had a really rough childhood, like, from 1 through 7.
Uh-huh. Right. And I've heard that before, is that, yeah, your personality gets set really young as far as who you are. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a brainiac or one of those guys. But I do know that, you know, knowing God, you can become a new creation. If you want to change, you can change. You know, it's not set in stone. I do know that for a fact because I know people what have did a 180 in their lives.
It's just harder to change after that 7 years.
Yeah, it's harder, but it happens, and with God's help, anything is possible. Everything is possible. So, depending on your background, our personality traits in our background and where we come from are what we struggle with. You know, there's a lot of difference, right? Now, there's different ways we could approach talking to people, right? It's kind of like talking about Jesus or just trying to meet somebody, a friend. There's different approaches you have to happen, right? We're not talking about changing the gospel. Because you never, never change the gospel. You never change who Jesus is. You don't try to change them to reach somebody else. You know, they always have to be the constant, the true. But you're probably going to talk to somebody what never knew religion differently than somebody what came from a different religious background, right? Are, you know, maybe there's something where there's an approach, like if somebody likes acting versus somebody likes sports, you know, you don't talk to them different. To talk to them and just to get to know them and be concerned about who they are, right? Make sense? We're not changing the gospel, so it's about knowing and asking for help as far as how do I reach this person? How do I actually talk to this person, to relate to them, to to get my point across. In Proverbs 18:21, Max?
Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit.
So again, you know, they said that, you know, a doctor, just the way, you know, one simple question or answer, I should say, it could change your moods, right? It could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing. Same with a judge. You know, you could either say you're guilty or you're innocent. It is a big change. You know, life and death. Our tongues, you know, they could hurt. You know, there's old saying is, words can never hurt me, but sticks and stones break my bones. Anybody ever heard that? But words do hurt.
They do, but do you take them literally, or do you take them?
But if you're always getting hammered with these words, they do hurt. It hurts everybody. I mean, if we want to be honest, you know, they shouldn't, because it doesn't matter. Their opinion doesn't matter. God's opinion matters, but it doesn't. But it's hard to hear. So words can hurt, and that's why our tongues are very lethal. And that's why we need to be careful. We need to control them. We need to control what we say. I found this short prayer, and I thought it was neat, and I just went ahead and did it, but it was about controlling the tongue. So if you don't mind. Lord, I know my tongue often gets ahead of my mind and my heart. I'm quick to speak, and I repent of many thoughtless things I've spoken. I'm sorry for the words I've spoken out in anger or in gossip. Please help me to think when I'm about to speak. Help me be slow to speak. Help me, Lord, to be a person full of loving words, full of your Spirit, overflowing with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen. You know, I thought that was really neat. It gets the point across, is because everybody struggles at one point or another. Sometimes we've talked about that, is sometimes our mouth is very quick to respond when we should wait a second. You know, every aspect of a Christian's life is bonded together. You know, it all works together. It's cohesive, if you will. You know, our family life, our prayer life, how we act, and definitely how we talk to others. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Stephen?
Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good, report if there is any virtue.
So I think meditate has gotten a bad rap because of because of Middle Eastern, you know, the Hinduish is, you know, meditate, but, you know, so we think, oh, we're Christians, we don't meditate. But meditate just means focus on and think about. So it's we're not ignoring the bad stuff. Well, you kind of are, but you're meditating, you're focused, you put your focus on the good things. You don't let other things bring you down, right? We need to be aware of those, But we're focused on the good. We're focused on that God is there, and God is there to help us. And he is always good. Then he will always help us when we lose that focus, right? That's what he's good about. Cassia, can you close us in prayer?